Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a fantastic time. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Definitely a rainy down here in Florida. A lot of stuff going on right now. So, the first couple articles, I think, where they're trying to get Dad dialed in, one of them, this is pretty crazy, with the COQ10 new article on CoQ10. We've talked about it repeatedly, how important CoQ10 is for the heart, but experts, including physicians now at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, have maintained that COQ10 supplementation can cut the risk of having a repeat heart attack, lower blood pressure levels, and even help reduce the side effects of statin drugs used to lower cholesterol. And study after study confirms its beneficial effects. People are getting on board. In a study published in Heart and Vessels, researchers measured the CoQ10 levels of coronary care unit patients who have been diagnosed with a variety of conditions. They found that the patients with lower COQ10 levels had a greater risk of both inflammation and malnutrition and were most likely to die while hospitalized. In general, the lower COQ10 levels, the higher of levels of C-reactive protein, or CRP, a biological marker of inflammation associated with disease. And so what they have found out now is that higher levels of COQ10 really promote much, much better levels in the body as far as health and nutrition in the heart. And a 5-year placebo-controlled Swedish study of 443 healthy adults between the ages of 70 and 88, a combination of 200 micrograms of mineral selenium and 200 milligrams of CoQ10 improve heart function and quality of life while reducing the number of days in the hospital. A double-blind study involving 60 participants published last June in the International Journal of Vitamin and Nutritional Research showed a reduction in markers of inflammation in patients with mild hypertension who'd received CoQ10 for 12 weeks. So CoQ10 is getting more and more traction all across the board as a very, very important nutrient that needs to be in everybody's diet. One thing about it that, you know, we've talked about before is that the CoQ10, it basically acts almost as fuel, as a fuel nutrient for the heart, and it's something that you really need to be taking, especially as you get older, to really feed the heart and what it needs to do. Also, too, another article on turmeric now. This is one that was pretty wild with a blood cancer patient, Dynek Ferguson. She basically went through 3 rounds of chemotherapy, and when she exhausted all options, they basically said there's nothing left to do, so she started hammering turmeric, and as of 5 years later after that, she is alive and well. They basically, Ferguson began taking 8 grams of curcumin daily. It's equivalent to about 2 teaspoons of pure powdered curcumin. Within about 15 months, she noticed considerable difference in her overall health, and it wasn't just a feeling either. Oncologists saw that her plasma blood levels were almost normal. These blood counts have remained within the normal range for the last 5 years. And so it's no surprise that we've talked about turmeric on numerous occasions, how important it is for the heart, how important it is for the immune system, and how good it is as an anti-inflammatory. So this is something that's definitely very, very good. Turmeric force that we have it real high dose. We even have the super critical extract in the oil form. It's under our formula we have in the 60 capsules or 120 capsules, and definitely a big selling product, very, very good for the heart, very good for anti-inflammatory measures, and so that's definitely a very, very important product that we have. Also, too, now, this is pretty wild, in news with Trump, he basically has gone now and threatened to cancel lawmakers' health care benefits, and he went on here to say in a series of tweets posted early Saturday, Trump urged Senate Republicans not to be quitters and to push for another vote to repeal in place Obamacare. The president put Congress on notice on what would happen if they fail. If a new health care bill is not approved quickly, bailouts for insurance companies and bailouts for members of Congress will end very soon, he tweeted. The bailouts for Congress that he's referring to is a policy implemented by the Office of Personnel Management under the Obama administration that allowed employer contributions to flow to the D.C. insurance exchange to help pay for members and staff benefits. They said that people would come up to Trump at his book signing and said they loved the president's tweeting because it accomplished things like exposing the hypocrisy of lawmakers. It's ridiculous that basically Congress does with a whole bunch of laws and they don't even follow them themselves. So we'll see if this actually goes anywhere. I have no idea if it will, if he can actually go in and block bailouts for members of Congress and the things. I know, I remember when we first read the health care bill that basically Congress was exempt from everything, including the fines and taxes and whatnot, which that's always something you have to look at, guys, and really ponder. When you see somebody passing a bill, passing laws, and they exempt themselves from those laws, and they're still United States citizens, they still live here just like me and you do, they're nobody special, they're basically appointed by the people, for the people, to represent the people, and then they turn around and exempt themselves from having to follow those laws or fines, it's a very clear indication that there's an ulterior motive, and these guys do not have your best interest in heart. I went into detail on Thursday or Friday about the sanction bill that basically got pushed, ramrodded through Congress and through the Senate with the sanctions towards Russia. If you guys didn't hear that, you definitely need to go back and listen to it in detail. But in basically a brief synopsis of it, what they did was they deprived future Congress from being able to change it, and they also put in there that basically the way it was designed from the way Obama had written this, they're preventing Trump from being able to do anything about it, essentially because the bipartisan support for the law means Congress can override a presidential veto. And what essentially does is it blocks pretty much not only Russia from doing business or doing anything outside of Russia, it blocks every single country from doing any business with Russia at all. And now Germany, actual Germany, as liberal as they've become with everything, they are absolutely flipping out about this whole thing that United States just did, because obviously Germany and United States are very close again. But the German economy minister, Bernd Zeptes, asked the European Commission to look into possible countermeasures against the United States following the ridiculous sanctions against Russia that is going to hit the European companies. He said, "We consider this to be a violation of international law. The Americans cannot punish German companies because they operate economically in another country. There are partnerships for natural gas and petroleum pipelines in the region." He further added that Germany doesn't want a trade war and is repeatedly and on a different level urged America to not leave the line of common sanctions. Unfortunately, they did. This is why it is the right for the EU Commission to take countermeasures now, he said. We're ready to take countermeasures in short term, even in other areas. The White House announced last week that apparently Donald Trump will be signing the legislation that imposed the sanctions on Russia. He will not be trying to veto these sanctions, which I'm very disappointed in that. I mean, like I said, if you guys want to go back on Friday and listen into detail on what exactly I broke it down, exactly what we're doing to Russia in every country, it's absurd, guys. It is a blatant act of war. I have never seen in my lifetime these amount of sanctions on such a significantly large first world country. They're so far out of line that many people have even come on, and on social media and everything, are absolutely protesting this right now because my Senate rammed it through in a day. Nobody, as far as the American population, got to vote on it. We didn't get to have our voice heard at all. This stuff just got pushed through. And as Dad and I said last Friday, there is definitely something going on as far as under the table, underground, whatever you want to refer to it as. There's something significant going on behind the curtains that they don't want us knowing about, because there are so many levels of international law they're essentially breaking with this, with absolutely zero regard for any other country. And pretty much by signing the bill into law, Trump cannot ease the sanctions against Russia unless he seeks congressional approval. That's what I talked about last Friday, and that's one of the serious issues with it, is because Congress completely agreed on this, and the move has rattled German business leaders and politicians. The German economy minister has told newspapers the new sanctions will hurt German companies and add another layer of difficulty to Berlin's relationship with Washington. He said the U.S. has left the common line it had with Europe for sanctions with Russia. German business leaders also warned these sanctions would prevent German companies from working on energy pipeline projects that are important to the country's energy sector, specifically the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline that Russia wants to build across the Baltic Sea in Germany. So here you go. Now we have something that's starting to tie back into this right now. With the help of Germany and France, the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline. I hear you, Dad. I'm glad we got you on the show now. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Awesome. But we called this out last week. We told everybody this wasn't about the election.
Yep.
This is about petrodollars. This is about the reserve currency of the planet. Sorry, I'm on the cell phone, but my doggone Skype won't work. So hopefully my signal's okay.
No worries. No, we got you here. But, yeah, this is exactly what's going on now. I did some more research. I found about the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline that basically Russia has been trying to put in with Germany through the Baltic Sea. And essentially what's going on now, this U.S. bill potentially targets that Baltic pipeline directly. This infuriates Germany, apparently, which has always insisted the Nord Stream 2 is purely commercial endeavor and that the argument hardly squares with how Putin uses energy routes to further Russia's influence in Europe. So what we see now is a lot of Europe's getting hacked off about these sanctions. This is a serious ripple effect when you start going in and barring any other countries from doing business with a huge company like this, especially a country that has this level of natural resources. But, yeah, there's definitely a whole lot of stuff. And this is just my opinion. This is a small piece of the puzzle that we're finding out here. I think as the weeks go on, we're going to start seeing a whole lot of very dirty, undermined tricks that the Congress has done in order to get this through, because they're trying to force Russia basically into submission. And, of course, as Dad just said, maintain control of the petrodollar, the reserve currency of the world.
Well, that's exactly right, Austin. And, you know, every time, I mean, Henry Ford said it so succinctly when he was having to deal with the international banking community. They actually went in and took his rights, his dealer, his ability to finance inventory for his dealers away, because they were trying to seize and take control of Ford Motor Company. This is the Rothschild boys, of course. These are Sabbatean Kabbalists. And he basically hated them. In fact, he actually wrote entire papers on these guys, on the international banking community. And it's one of the links that had him linked in with Adolf Hitler, because Adolf Hitler hated these guys too. So, you know, the crazy part about all of this is they will seek out and do anything they want to do to control the reserve currency status of the United States dollar, because they don't want to have the United States dollar collapse, which I don't either. I don't want it to collapse either. And, you know, but I don't believe that putting these massive sanctions against Russia are going to help that. We need to get our own house cleaned up and cleared out. You get these lowlife out of Congress who are doing all these crazy things like McCain, and make people realize that McCain is simply a war criminal. He's absolutely awful. I'm going to go ahead and pull my gloves off today on McCain. I've had enough of him, because, I mean, he basically is the one right now. He's one of the senators that's just turned against the Republican people again. And he joined the pro-abortion Republicans to defeat the Senate bill defunding Planned Parenthood last week. This guy's just a complete and total piece of garbage is what he is. I mean, he's a giant seething sack of hot air-filled methane as far as I'm concerned. And the sad part about this is that, you know, now he used his POW status to get pity and support for all of these years because of what he had gone through. Remember, he sealed a bunch of the files with Vietnam, and he did not want us to bring the boys home or to have them come talk about what he did over in Vietnam. This is the same John McCain, and it doesn't appear that he's slowing down. He's the same way. In fact, there's several articles. Here's one by Lendman. It says John McCain is a neocon war criminal. It said what Arizona failed voters to do for decades, serious illness did instead, likely ending John McCain's political career in a few months. It's hard feeling sympathy for someone supporting decades of high crimes of war against humanity, along with like-minded extremists in Washington. Perhaps brain cancer at the age of 80 is payback time, hardly compensation for imperial lawlessness he supported throughout his political career, mindless of the enormous harm to millions of people. I mean, people are actually coming out against him now and really, really, really hammering him. I mean, he even said he does not show the slightest concern, or he appear to have a thought about the criminal acts he has committed against the population from absolute impunity of his airplane, and that nevertheless those who have saved his life, fed him, and looked after his death, and now he's healthy and strong. I believe he has bombed densely populated places for sport. I mean, this guy just absolutely comes after him. He's a war hero in his own mind alone, with considerable help from his father, Admiral John Jack McCain Jr., Commander-in-Chief Pacific Commander from 1968 to 72. So this article really goes into him and what McCain did as far as arming the rebels, et cetera, et cetera, and how he's done treason against the United States of America. And also we have to realize that, you know, we're talking about, you know, what's going on with Korea right now, with what's happening with their missile technology. And we have to understand who gave this missile technology to the Koreans. That was done through Bill Clinton. And I've mentioned this before, I'm going to mention it again. Bill Clinton paved the way for nuclear in North Korea because North Korea is allies with China. Bill Clinton gave the process in 1994 that Boeing started with the ICBM capabilities. This is what he did. North Korea now has a long-range intercontinental ballistic missile that can reach the United States. In the 90s, President Clinton approved the transfer of technology for long-range ICBMs, including launch technology, guidance, reentry devices, and warhead miniaturization to China, which then gave it to North Korea. China also authorized the building of nuclear reactors in North Korea that can create fissionable material for atomic bombs. It all goes back to those stinking low-life Clintons that did anything and everything for money. And he also gave the silent shaft technology of our submarines to China, which allowed them to produce their current fleet of submarines. So the Clintons just seem to never want to go away, Austin, and what they've done is a complete ripple effect. Yesterday, it was interesting. I was coming off an airplane flying back into Athens. We'd gone to one of the barrier islands for a few days, and I was talking to a mother and her daughter. Her daughter went to Tulane and was basically graduating from Tulane. And I started talking to her and asking her some questions. Her daughter was a staunch Democrat, completely and totally for Hillary Clinton. And as soon as I mentioned the fact that, you know, that Bernie Sanders would have been a better candidate for the Democratic Party, this girl went off on me, Austin. She started screaming and yelling in the doggone tram going back to the airport. I couldn't believe it. I mean, remember that day we were at Epcot and that girl chased us down and told us we couldn't laugh on the rides and all that stuff?
Oh,
and that
yeah.
Crazy stuff. And she, remember that? This girl had the exact same personality. I mean, it was like her sister clone. And her mom got unbelievably embarrassed. She was like 20 years old, didn't know anything about anything. It just went off on me and started screaming about how Donald Trump was a fascist. And I looked at her and I said, you don't even know what you're talking about. I said, Bush was a fascist. Bush was a fascist. Trump's not a fascist. He's an entrepreneur. I said, Hillary Clinton, we call her the witch of Benghazi because of what she did to those boys in Benghazi. And the girl went berserk, started screaming and yelling. I thought she was going to collapse at the airport. And I think myself, this woman is really making a scene. This is ridiculous. All because I called her the wicked witch of Benghazi because of what she had done. And she couldn't justify anything Hillary had done except for screaming and yelling. And she was on the brink of just absolute cussing and screaming. So I've learned several things here in Greece. Liberals are liberals no matter what country they're in, number one. Number two, this is another funny one I learned. There's all kinds of dogs that run around here. Just dogs, just loose dogs that basically live on the street, and they sleep in front of shops with air conditioners coming out. I mean, I'm talking now hundreds of dogs. So the other day there was this real pretty one, like a long-haired something or another. They're all mixed, and I tapped it on its foot, just tapped it with my shoe on its foot, trying to wake it up. I was going to pet it. It looked like a good-looking dog, and some Greek guy walks up to me and starts screaming at me not to wake the sleeping dog. Not kidding you, Austin. And I looked at him and I said, dude, are you like smoking dope? I said, what's wrong with you? I said, I tapped the dog on his foot. I put like a quarter ounce of pressure on his foot to wake it up so I could pet it. I said, where's the sign that you cannot pet the sleeping dog here? The guy went nuts. And I thought to myself, oh well. So I said a few things to him to calm him down. He calmed right down. And then today I was walking on a back road here, on a back street in this little shopping area, and there's a little church on the corner with a bell. With a cord hanging off the bell. And, you know, I mean, right there in the street, you know. So I thought, oh, wow, this is so people can ring it, you know, and like kids can ring it and you know, and make, you know, a little bit of noise. And it's a really cool little bell. So I rang the bell one time, and so this guy comes running around the corner, starts screaming and yelling because I rang the bell. And I told Sharon, I said, this is just nuts. You know, I said, they got all kinds of little rules around it they don't bother to publish. And he goes, and I looked at the guy, I said, dude, how would I possibly know that I couldn't ring the bell? There wasn't a sign. There's a rope hanging in the street. And he goes, well, you should know that. These are customs in our country. And I said, dude, it doesn't say don't ring the bell. And so if you ever come to Greece, do yourself a favor. Don't wake up the dogs that are sleeping on the street. You may get yelled at. And whatever you do, don't ring a bell at a church. It must deal with some kind of superstition for these death bells that people used to have way back in the day here in Europe, when, you know, for whom the bell tolls, that kind of stuff. Books have been written about that. So I guess unless it's some kind of emergency or wedding or funeral, nobody's supposed to ring the bell. So newsflash, Rick Steves never told me this on any travel channel I ever watched. You don't ring bells in Europe. And whatever you do, don't wake a sleeping dog in Greece. So those are my two big updates. Oh, by the way, I did talk to the hotel manager this weekend from the hotel we checked out of, and he said that Greece is in complete shambles with capital controls. They still cannot remove more than $400 a week from their accounts. It's completely crippling the entire hotel industry. Plus, they're charged a 24% VAT tax on every single dollar they bring in. So they bring in $100. They've got to pay like $24 back in VAT taxes back to the government. And then whatever's left of the profit they make from that, they got to pay another 50% in. I mean, I'm not kidding you guys. I mean, that's where this Greece thing has turned into. And they said it would encourage people to come invest in Greece. He says, nobody wants to invest in Greece. He said, you can't get a return on your investment here because like 75% of the money is taken away immediately by the government, who's basically totally and completely corrupt. So I said, well, we have the same problem with our totally and completely corrupt government. And one more thing, today we were on the shuttle bus going downtown from the hotel, and we met a German au pair. This is like a nanny from Germany. She's 20 years old, and she's from Heidelberg. And I started asking her some questions, and I said, well, so let me ask you a few questions. I said, if you don't mind. She said, sure. And I said, what's going on with the Muslims? And she goes, it's awful. She goes, they come to our country, and they get and they have all these children, and Germany automatically gives you money every single month for every child that you have. So they bring all their kids with them. And then they give them housing, and they give them free food, and they give them all of these benefits that we as German citizens don't get. And they keep all of the stuff, and they keep taking more and more and more. And they rape the women in our streets. And she goes, it's absolutely awful. I live in a small town. It's called Heidelberg, one of the oldest universities in the world. And we've completely had our entire culture degraded now with the running of our country by the Muslims. And she goes, we cannot believe that Angela Merkel has done this, and we are so happy that Donald Trump is in your country, and that hopefully he can fix the mess that you guys got going on over there, because we don't know what to do, because it looks like Angela Merkel's going to get revoted back in again. She's completely and totally destroyed the culture of Germany, even in the smaller cities where these Muslims have been housed. She says they actually throw people out of their homes and apartments to house the Muslims, and then the state pays for the houses and stays. The state pays for the Muslims to be there and to pay for the apartment. They're paying everything off, the food, rent, everything, and giving them more money than the Germans make. She said that she taught school for about 2 weeks to the Muslim children in Heidelberg. She says these children are unbelievably wild. They've never been educated. They've never been in school. They don't know how to read and write. They don't know how to follow order. They don't know how to do anything besides scream and yell and jump around in the classroom. She said after 2 weeks of that, she had enough of it, and she told them that she was going to quit. She had enough, and she was going to go back to being an au pair, being a nanny again, but she refused to work with kids that were like this. So this is what's going on right now over here, guys. I'm your boots on the ground, and I'm telling you what's happening with capital controls here, and I'm telling you what's happening in Greece, and I'm telling you what's happening all over Europe now from the people that are here who are living at Austin. What do you think?
That's wild, man. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that we've heard, and I mean, you're just making sure that, I mean, it's even more crystal clear than it was before. And I mean, it's sad because, you know, I mean, I've had a lot of friends that have been in the military, a lot of guys that have gone over to the Middle East and the sandbox in Afghanistan and all that, and they've told me the same thing as far as, and that's the issue with that whole culture over there is the kids are not raised up in most cases in any type of high-end schools and any type of high-end education systems. There is no law and order, essentially. There is no, you know, basis as far as these are the structural rules you're supposed to follow. They just kind of run around just guns built all the time. In Germany, that's just wild. Just just wild, all over the place, all over the street, all over the town. They may learn something occasionally here and there, but usually it's going to be something based on the Quran. That's about the extent of what they learn. And then they bring them into Germany and they expect them to integrate into that society. And as Dad just said, that's exactly what happened. You're trying to teach these kids that literally they have no idea about your culture at all. They don't care about your culture. They're simply just happy to be out of the Middle East and get paid free money essentially every month to live there. And that's what I reported on 2 years ago when I found those documents they were talking about. They were interviewing those people over there and they were saying, yeah, when they show up, they get like free transport from wherever they're at. You know, they get free housing. In a lot of cases, they're actually going, as Dad just said, they're kicking people out that are renters and tenants in places out here that are German citizens that have been there for years, booting them out, being like, oh, you got to find another place to stay. You got 2 weeks to leave. Here's your 14-day notice. Get out. They're putting in these giant Muslim families. They're paying for their housing. Then they're giving them basically an allowance every month that they just give them for free. They pay for their food. They pay for everything. And, I mean, golly, who wouldn't want to have that? I mean, you go to a first-world country. You get paid to go there. You get free housing. You get free food. You get free public transportation. And you essentially get to run amok all over the country and do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, with really no significant ramifications on any type of degenerate behavior. That's what they're doing over there, and the police, the military, all that, they're blatantly letting it happen, and they're not even trying to stop it because they're getting orders from the top down. This is what you have to do, and they're doing it to destabilize Europe as much as possible. I mean, look what I was just talking about before. We have what's happened now with the Muslim invasion over the last couple of years. We have now the United States turning into the giant schoolyard bully of the world. I mean, the biggest bully in existence now. Nobody can do any type of deals with Russia, period, for any reason, or else we're going to sanction you, too. I mean, who does Congress even think they are, honestly? I mean, who do they even think they are writing something like that and expecting people to follow it? I mean, that has to be some of the most narcissistic, arrogant legislation I've ever seen Congress put into law. You can't do any dealings with this country. You can't do any type of business transactions with them at all. We're going to sanction your country too. You can't do that. You can't start telling other countries they can't do any business with this country because you have a problem with them because they allegedly interfere with the election, which is complete and total horse crap, or they're in basically a Cold War or a hot war with the Ukraine right now, which used to be a part of the USSR, which is their business. It's not our problem. We're going to sanction them for that. No, guys, there is way more going on at the table. Once I saw this pipeline going through the Baltic Sea, I see much more stuff with this. But when you start coupling what's happening with a Muslim invasion in Europe is getting so aggressive right now. Now we see these unbelievably drastic bullying, unlawful act of war sanctions that just got put on Russia. All this stuff starting to clue together. They're trying to make a giant powder keg pot over there that they want somebody to light off. And if they keep pressing Russia like this, if they keep pressing these countries like this, somebody's going to pop off eventually. It may not be with a nuke, it may not be with a formal invasion, but tensions are going to get progressively higher as this continues to go on, Dad. And in my opinion, I think that's a lot of what the globalists actually want to have happen. That's why they're trying to push this so hard now.
Well, I've read numerous articles, but I can't verify, so I really haven't spoken about a lot on the show because I don't really have a way to vet it, is that the central bank in Russia has basically ousted the Rothschild banking cartel, and they're no longer owned by the Rothschilds. Now, if that's the truth, if that's just not more obfuscation, that would explain a lot as far as why this Congress that we have is basically going in and sanctioning Russia like this, because it's all about, again, serving their Sabbatean Kabbalist masters, the Luciferians, the Rothschilds, who basically are running the planet now with their fiat currency and their Babylonian money system. It's crazy. Let's change the subject, though. The holistic doctors are continuing to die. Two more died a few days ago. That this is a wife and a doctor and his wife plummeted to their deaths. Now we have over 60 people that have died who were holistic doctors in the last year or so, last year and a half. This is a well-known holistic chiropractor, Dr. Glenn Scarpelli, and his wife, and may his family deal with this as best they can. Patricia Coolant fell to their test from the ninth story of a 7-story building with a typed suicide note in their pocket. And that means it wasn't handwritten, guys. It was typed, right? Anybody could type anything. A neighbor claims she heard screams just before the tragedy. Mainstream media reported they had killed themselves because they could not afford health care. It's a bunch of junk again. But later changed the story to saying that he was too far into debt. That, too, is questionable, as much as the estimated debt was $250,000, which is not unusual or unreasonable for a successful medical practitioner. Over the past 2 years, there have been more than 60 deaths of holistic and alternative doctors who reject drugs as the treatment of choice. Guys, this is what happens when these guys have these big clinics and they're making all of these different claims and they're not putting their certain amount of prescriptions out they're supposed to, there's a certain amount of drugs, and they're telling people there's alternatives to this. A lot of these guys have been found dead. Gonzalez and Bastrida, two of them. I broke the story on Hagman 2 years ago. And it's a pretty scary thing, you know, and luckily I don't have a practice any longer, or it'd be pretty stressful for me at this point too, because if they can't shut you down by saying you're doing something you're not supposed to, apparently they just kind of shut you up by making you kind of like depart the planet whether you want to or not. You know, I mean, here's the thing. Really? I mean, you're going to jump to your death from a 9-story building if you're both your wife and you're going to do that? Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to go for, are you both going to jump together? Are you going to jump one at a time? I mean, the first person jumps, sees the second person jump, they go, that's, I don't want to do that. That's awful, man. I'm not going to do that. And why would you not write a handwritten note instead of a typed note? You know, all of this stuff goes back to Forrestal, all these guys they killed by throwing them out of windows. It aggravates me because I see stuff like this. I know that it's just more obfuscation because they want to shut these guys up because he may have had a talk show or a big clinic or a lot of people coming in with holistic help, or he may have been working on cancer treatment protocols. You don't know, guys, what these guys are doing. When you start seeing stuff like this, you kind of makes you realize, wow, you know, it's just, you got to tell it from the rooftops, guys. You got to let people know what you are doing and who you are. And that's the only way you can get these guys' attention, is you've got to get back in their face and let them know that, hey, I'm going to tell everybody everything I know. So there was no reason to kill me after that because I've already told it all. And I guess that's the only way you can get away with it, Austin, because otherwise, how are people like, you know, Robert David Steele and other CIA guys coming in and saying what they say, making all kinds of crazy statements that are probably all true, and then turning right back around and not finding themselves dead? I mean, sometimes it just seems very strange to me. What do you think?
It's all very strange, man. As you said, I mean, jumping out of a window together like that, this has happened repeatedly over and over and over, and we've talked about this with bankers all over the place, people that have been involved in this stuff. They just, see, the thing about it is, jumping out of a window is one of the easiest ways to essentially suicide somebody, because there's no significant issue. If you grab them and you basically have two or three guys come into a room, they grab them, they throw them out the window, they hit the asphalt, they're done. They do an autopsy on them, you've got hundreds of broken bones, organs are exploded, there's nothing left. You can't sit there and pinpoint anything and say, well, this happened. You hit the asphalt from 100 feet up, that you're done. There's nothing left. I mean, you're splattered everywhere. So it's very, very easy to push that through. And as Dad just said, you do it a tight note on the computer. So you went through the process of thinking about writing your suicide note. You typed it all out. You spell checked it. Then you printed it off on your computer so you could look at it and reread it again before you put it on the table. That's a lot of really detailed thought into writing a suicide note. Most true suicide notes are like, I've had this problem, I can't deal with it anymore, I'm done. And it's like two or three sentences, and that's the extent of it. Writing something up on a computer like that, there's a lot of thought, and you've got to really be in a pretty sound mind to write a significantly clear, precise suicide letter on a computer and then print it off. So I don't buy any of that for a second whenever you see stuff like this happen. Like I said, the going out the window, that's one of the easiest ways for these guys to make people disappear, because it's public. It happens in public, so nobody thinks anything of it. They don't find them, you know, a week later in a ditch somewhere with a bullet hole. They jump out the window so everybody sees it happen, or right after it happens. There's no really correlation going back to anybody pushing them out, because, like I said, there's no forensics or any type of autopsy they're going to show that stuff. So, yeah, it's sad that happened, but unfortunately that seems to be the way a lot of this is going now. Also, too, speaking of, we were talking about abortions earlier. Now, this is pretty wild. In a recent global family planning summit in London, Melinda Gates, who's wife of, you know, billionaire Bill Gates, announced that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, because of basically the defunding Planned Parenthood and the basically the threats of not giving Planned Parenthood federal grants and all that. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is now going to donate $375 million to organizations that provide contraceptives and abortions like Planned Parenthood over the next 4 years. Now, Melinda Gates stated the money would only go towards contraceptives and sex education, which we know is essentially a complete and total lie. Money's fungible. We've said that many a times. You give a company $100 million and you say, well, this needs to be used for, you know, basically contraceptives. And they say, okay, that's what we'll use it for. It never works like that. They're giving too large sum away of money in order to be put any caveats on it, what it can and can't be used for. Essentially, in other words, every dollar the Gates Foundation gives to Planned Parenthood is for distributing birth control and building an abortion-friendly clinic that frees up dollars in Planned Parenthood's budget to spend elsewhere. So that's complete and total lies. But again, you can't expect much out of Bill and Melinda Gates as far as what they do. They are total globalists. That's where they are. They've been very adamant about the entire eugenics program, the vaccine program, everything they push on a regular basis. So you can't be surprised they're dumping almost $400 they're donating to Planned Parenthood. $375 million, but that's a lot of money to donate. But obviously, they have a very clear agenda with that.
Well, of course they do. They want to depopulate the planet. Oh, by the way, speaking about agendas, the judge is now ordering review of airline seats and legroom. You know, and this one I have to agree with on this one. The airlines have become more and more greedy as they've had more and more mergers, and the Sabbatean cabals have taken more and more of their shares over with their bean counters. And what they've done here, they've got the seats now so close together. And today we were flying in, and there was a lot of wind on this outer island that we're on. I mean, like, they were talking like it was like 50-mile-an-hour wind. I mean, it's like tropical storm winds. Side winds. And so this pilot has to come in. God, I bet he landed at 240 miles an hour, which is probably the upper limit of that aircraft, just to maintain stability of the airplane when he landed. Great pilot, by the way. And what was crazy about the whole thing is, you know, I told Sharon, I said, you know, if you look forward, our seat in front of us is literally 6 inches from our face. I mean, it's so close. And I said, if you had to lay your head in your lap, how in the world would you possibly do that? I said, you can't even put your head down anymore. These seats are so close together. You're going to impact the back of the seat. And so I don't really have a problem with the judge doing that. And while he's at it, they need to start making the seats a little bit wider, too, because a lot of people are a lot larger than they need to be nowadays, and they don't fit in the seat real well. When you sit beside them, they kind of smother you down a little bit. So you have to be careful with all that. I had that happen one time, but I won't tell the story because it'll make somebody mad somewhere. So the truth of the matter is, guys, I don't have a problem with this. They need to figure out how to make planes safe and give enough room in the seats to make them safety conscious also, guys. What do you think, Harrison? I mean, awesome.
No, you're absolutely right, man. I mean, they have gotten like that because a lot of times when they redo them and they have to change stuff and they have aviation requirements, they have to go in and strip the cabin out and redo stuff and redo bolts and everything else. And you've noticed that now in a lot of planes. They're moving the seats closer and closer together. They're making seats smaller and smaller when they reorder them now so they can fill more seats on the plane. Because a lot of these planes can handle significant amount of weight, even more than, you know, they meet capacity when they're flying. So they can handle adding in an extra 10, 20, 30, 40 passengers at a time. But yes, this is something that I think needs to be addressed the same way that Amazon has become completely out of control. When you start having very, very large corporations like this that deal with massive amounts of public transport and stuff like American Airlines or any other airline company, it needs to be a safe and also at least moderately comfortable ride. I mean, when you start, like you said, Dad, when you start having seats that are literally 10 inches away from your face, and that's before the person in front of you reclines, it makes it really difficult to even fly comfortably, much less safe at all. If something happens, like you said, if you have to lean over and do something, as far as if the plane's going down, you're supposed to get in this safe position, which I don't know how much safety that does for you if the plane's actually going to wreck, but it is what it is. Also, too, though, speaking of size of people, you know, I talked about this about 7-8 months ago because I've seen multiple articles back then that were slamming clean eating as a dangerous fad, and I'm seeing this come up more now. There's another one a little ways back that basically popped up in the Daily Mail, And, you know, clean eating is essentially consuming whole foods that aren't processed or refined, not eating hydrogenated oils, not eating GMOs. That's what it is. And the Daily Mail had another article they posted with Dr. Max Pemberton, who's basically a complete and total educated idiot, and he pretty much rakes clean eating all over the place. I mean, shoves it down in the sewer. He talks about patients who are emaciated, describing these basically their bones are sticking out and they're completely and totally, you know, they have osteoporosis and their reproductive systems are shut down. And what he does is he's blatantly trying to compare anorexia and bulimia and eating disorders to clean eating. This is what the media is trying to do as aggressively as possible. Remember I talked to you the other day about the show I watched that was talking about how the sugar industry basically wanted to blame it on the fat, that they were making, fat was making people fat and all this stuff. And at the end of the show, it basically went on to say that your genetics is what determines your size. If you're obese, it's not your fault. It's not what you eat. It's simply your genetics, and there's nothing you can do about it. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to do a full-blown psych-op because of what's going on now with people waking up about GMO foods, about waking up about glyphosate, about waking up about vaccines, about waking up about fluoride. All this stuff now is starting to snowball. And so the desire to eat healthy, guys, it's not a disorder. It's not an eating disorder. And he writes in here, this one thing he said, the central tenet, the very nugget at the core of its belief system is flawed. And he's referring to clean eating. He said the very notion of clean eating suggests that some food is dirty or bad, and this is simply not the case, which is a total lie. Some food really is bad, as you guys already know, and it's very irresponsible for a doctor to say something like that. He goes on to say, but be under no illusion, clean eating is ugly, malevolent, and damaging. The whole irony of a clean eating fad is that despite what its purpose to be, it's fundamentally toxic. That's what this guy's talking about, clean eating. And so what they've done now, notice this in multiple articles, is they're trying to couple clean eating, like eating more like raw nuts, whole food, whole eggs, and they're trying to couple that now with eating disorders, basically putting them in the exact same category. So if you want to eat organic whole eggs and you want to eat grass-fed beef and you want to eat vegetables that are fresh and you don't want to eat GMO food, you're basically classified in the same category as having an eating disorder and you're bulimic and you go throw up your food every time you eat a meal. That's what they're indirectly doing now with these articles, and they're doing it specifically to target this younger generation and essentially trying to shame them into thinking that eating clean is some type of weird, toxic idea, as he blatantly says here. So this is something that needs to be addressed. If you know people that are trying to eat clean, if they're getting badgered or bullied by anybody, address it. Eating clean is the absolute best way to eat, period. Staying away from high fructose corn syrup, processed foods, hydrogenated oil, that's the only way to eat and have any type of excellent long-term health. So don't allow a lot of these guys in here to brainwash any of your family or your children with a lot of this garbage rhetoric they're trying to push in these articles.
I couldn't have said it any better myself, Austin. I know we have a new book coming out. We'll release the title here in a few months when it gets to press. And it's going to be all about eating the right kind of foods and the right types of quantities and the right types of servings. And it's going to be probably the best cookbook that we've ever, in fact, it will be the best cookbook we've ever come out with. You know, probably one of the best cookbooks that's ever been written. And it's all about eating the right foods in the right proportions at the right times, you know, from the right sources. And it basically lays everything out for you in a really neat little package as to why you need to eat this way. I mean, think about it for a second. You really want to eat a bunch of pesticides? You really want to eat a bunch of GMOs? You really want to eat a bunch of fluoride and chlorine and chemicals in your diet? No. All of those do are create toxins in the body, and they destroy cell structures, and they destroy brain functioning. So these guys don't want you eating clean, because when you eat clean, what it does is you start waking up. And they want to keep you that, they want to keep you in that trance like state. They don't want you saying, well, wait a minute, I don't want to have fluoride anymore. I want my brain to start working again. They don't want you doing that. They want you to completely stay asleep. By the way, former Clinton aide is now basically blowing the whole blow up, the cover off of how Obama has set up a secret war room only blocks from the White House to destroy Trump. We actually covered part of this story, oh gosh, back in January. as a former advisor to President Bill Clinton says it was a secret war room run by the staff of the former president, miles from the White House, that is designed to bring down President Donald Trump. In a YouTube video shared on Tuesday, Dick Morris, who worked for former President Clinton, said, there's an indication that Obama has set up a secret operation in a war room just 2 miles from the White House. The staff consists of former Barack and Michelle Obama aides, among others, and has two conference calls daily to create talking points against the president, held at 8:30 a.m. and at 9:45, according to Morris. On the call are Andrew Slavitt, who served as the head of the Centers for Medicaid and Medicaid Services, and the former Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius. I mean, guys, this is a full-blown war on these globalists against Donald Trump. Donald Trump just needs to start getting people into his cabinet that aren't affiliated with these nuts and basically clean house. We've got to give him some more time. He's 6 months in, and the country hasn't blown up yet. So apparently he hasn't done everything too badly, and he has repealed and rolled back a lot of the regulations that Obama has done. What do you think about this, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, he's done that's positive. I know also, too, they're talking about, I think he put a new person in with the EPA as well. I saw the article earlier, and essentially this guy wants to come in and start prioritizing economic growth over environmental protections that are completely and totally lawless. I've talked about it before. There's so many different things that we're affected by with the EPA on a regular basis that all they really do is the bidding of a lot of these big corporations that want to make excessive amounts of money, as we saw with the DPF filters, with the diesel trucks that sell the urea fluid that you have to put in them every couple thousand miles, that has caused literally a plethora of engine problems on these trucks over the last 6-7 years, trying to retrofit these things, trying to get these vehicles to work. And, you know, I've still, when I've talked to people that are pro EPA and pro just regulations on these vehicles, I always ask them, I said, I don't know how to figure this out. I said, I don't know how to do the math. I said, do you take a diesel truck now and you put a giant filter on the exhaust, which diesels are not supposed to have a giant filter clogging up the turbo. But anyways, you have a filter on it that basically the gas from the turbo exhaust has to try and flow through, and then you pour urea through it on a regular basis to try and clean it out and blow all the soot out of the tailpipe. And so when you do this, most of these diesel trucks average anywhere from about 14 to 15 to 17 miles per gallon, maybe a little bit better at low speeds on a highway, but that's usually pretty average. And then when you see vehicles when they're off-road capable and they're not using them on the road, and they put them basically and delete this stuff off of them, they take these exhaust off of them, they get anywhere in the mid to high 20s. So they're getting anywhere from 10 to 12 to 13 miles per gallon more, almost twice the fuel mileage, literally almost double. And they're still not pollutive. They're still very, very clean burning. This I have an issue with, because as we see, the EPA, in a lot of cases we've seen over the years, they do nothing except to benefit a lot of these giant corporations that make mega billions off the American population. And when you start forcing people to follow these regulations at gunpoint, essentially, and fining them, like we've seen with Volkswagen, as we've seen them do with multiple companies now. I mean, what was the Volkswagen fine because of their little diesel bypass they did on there? It was something stupid. It was like $17 billion fine or something crazy that they got hit with that because of this whole thing.
It was over 20 now. It's over $20 billion. And they really weren't cheating on the emissions. They were, if the engine wasn't warmed up, they basically were bypassing some things on the controls. It wasn't like it was running dirty. It wasn't like it was a filthy engine. It was still running super clean, but it wasn't exactly what they said it was during certain times of operation. That was the problem with all of this. So you're absolutely right, Austin. Diesels are a great engine, but they have to be left to breathe. And the clean technology that we have now is so good that they were good before the DPF cartridges came into these things and all these garbage things are putting to them in these catalytic converters and everything. What a mess. That's why a diesel engine used to run anywhere from a half a million to a million miles. Now, in some engines, they blow up before they get to 100,000 miles.
Yeah.
So the longevity of the engines is simply isn't there anymore. By the way, Chelsea Clinton, by the way, who is probably, in my opinion, Webb Hubble's daughter, because she looks identical to Webb Hubble, if not to Bill Clinton. I mean, I'm talking identical. She is now preaching again on her little Twitter feed. And she's telling white parents, white parents now, white parents, to teach their kids not to be racist. Now, let me put something together here for you guys. Okay, I know she's not dealing with, you know, really high IQ points. I got that, okay? I mean, she's got Hillary as a mom, so she can't do much about that. But here's the deal. You know, if she wants to tell parents not to teach their kids to be racist, I'm okay with that. Tell the black kid parents, the white parents, the Hispanic parents, Chinese parents, everybody, not to be racist. Just leave the color white out. Just tell parents to teach their kids not to be racist. I'm okay with that, but we're okay with that. But again, she wants to keep this white-black paradigm going, white-Muslim paradigm going, white-Hispanic paradigm going, to continue to segment the population as her mother and father have done, to continue to create this class warfare that we talked about last week and this racial warfare that we talked about last week, to continue to destabilize the United States. What bothers me with these blithering idiots is this. How in the world are they planning on staying in our country and having our country being a place that can actually support them and their families after they've destroyed it like they're doing? Like Angela Merkel has done to Germany now, and becoming the rape capital of the world, that in Sweden. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. They turn their countries, their own countries, into these horrible places that nobody wants to live. But we know why Germany did it, why it's being done to Germany. Germany was running hundreds of billions of dollars in surplus. They weren't going into debt at all to the Rothschild banking cartel, because the Germans have a very strong savings ethic, and they don't spend things they don't need to impress people they don't know, to, you know, whatever. They don't do that. They're like a bunch of ants. They're always on a mission over there. And they were able to stay out of the Rothschild net. And so now they're putting them into that net, into debt, because they're going to have another 20, 30 million people come into their country who don't want to work, who don't want to learn, who all they want is free stuff. And now the German people are going to be stuck paying for this stuff to the point where it will no longer allow Germany to have a surplus, which will allow Germany to fall into the same debt mess that so many other countries around the world have already fallen into. Austin, what do you think?
No, that's exactly what's going on. And I mean, like I said, and then couple in these sanctions that just got hit on Russia, it still boggles my mind after I read all that yesterday or on Friday and went through all the details on that stuff. And you see them doing this now. It's very clear where the agenda's heading with this, and it's total globalization. It's a one-world government. That is the only explanation to all of this, as we already know. But that's clearly what they're doing now, except now we're actually seeing it come into fruition. We're actually seeing a new world order come together now, because there's no other outcome from this when you start issuing sanctions on one of the biggest countries in the world and preventing and barring every other country from doing any business with them, or else you're going to sanction them as well. That's where this is headed. The globalists have to bring the entire world into submission, the entire financial industry into submission. They have to have their one world currency that is backed by nothing. Remember, they do not want any dollars that are backed by gold. They don't want anything that's backed by silver. They do not want any tangible assets backing it, because if they can come up with their own world currency that is just digits and dashes and just numbers on a screen, they can literally change anything they want, and they will not have to have any type of resources backing it. That's why you see what they've done with gold and silver over the last couple of years since 2011. 2011, gold and silver were actually going to where they were supposed to go. They were actually reindexing. They were going to go right up to where they needed to be, and they were headed there very, very quickly. And then you saw the globalists absolutely short the market as hard as they physically could to suppress the physical metals, because they did not want people realizing how effective tangible assets are at actually retaining wealth. They want everybody to still rely on the irredeemable paper currency of the U.S. dollar and believe that's the strongest currency because the Federal Reserve says so, and which is complete and total lie. But now we see all this stuff that's starting to come together. So it's kind of weird to see it to come together. I mean, it's definitely not a boring time to be alive. There's no question about that.
Not a boring time. Oh, by the way, happy to end on a happy story. A dog led a family to two unconscious girls, age 8 and 16, who had been struck by lightning in Utah. This is an incredible story. The dog was able to lead the injured girls back to the parents to the injured girls. Family dog led relatives to the unconscious girls after the lightning strike. The girls, ages 16 and 8, were camping with relatives as part of a family reunion with attendees from Payson and Mapleton. the girls were riding on an ATV and had gotten off the vehicle to look around while accompanied by the family dog. Then disaster struck in the form of lightning. The dog returned to the camp and alerted the family. The family followed the dog back to the site where the girls were found on the ground unconscious. Both girls were flown via helicopter to the hospital. The 8-year-old girl who was in critical condition is okay now, and the 16-year-old was in serious but stable condition. So, guys, our prayers are for that family. But what an incredible story of an animal helping the family to find the girls that had been struck by lightning. I like stories like that. Guys, thank you for listening. Thanks for being here while I give you a little update to what's going on over here in Greece. And I feel bad for this country. And now the European Union, by the way, is now hearing legislation that they want to go ahead and also have capital controls in their country like they do in Greece to prevent people from taking money out of the bank also in the EU. So it's coming to a bank near you, I'm afraid, within the next few years. So God bless you guys. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from Health Masters. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being our friends. Thanks for listening. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and write the summary up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Sounds good. Yes, guys, absolutely. We appreciate all the support. Thank you for all the emails and all the phone calls we get all the time. You know, you can check us out at healthmasters.com. You can check out our also product of the week. That's our super potent E. That's on sale for over 10% off. That's our full mix tocopherol vitamin E. Really, really popular product. Probably one of the best vitamin E's on the market anywhere. I mean, it's got so many different forms of mixed tocopherols in it. It's pretty aggressive. I mean, it's got the delta, the gamma, the alpha, the beta tocopherols. Really, really, really aggressive formula. Incredibly good at keeping blood viscosity thin. Really good for cholesterol. Really good for cardiovascular health. So be sure to check that out because that ends Wednesday morning for product of the week. You can also go on the website and vote for the other products, your favorite products that are up for voting right now on what you want to see be product of the week on Wednesday. So be sure to go check that out at healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, 1-800-726-1834. We appreciate the support, guys. Thank you for everything you do, and thank you for being here with us every single day. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.